Maybe you had to use the heater in the car or truck on the way to work today. 7 o'clock this morning, it was still under 50 degrees at my house. It's that other thing many car ventilation systems do that will become increasingly important in the coming months when temperatures outside climb to and through 100 degrees. Yeah, air conditioning is the subject today of our monthly visit with Zach Edwards at Ashland Automotive in a segment we call The Squeaky Wheel. We'll field your questions about automotive AC at 800-838-3760 or jx at jeffnet.org. Zach, always good to see you.
Hey, good to see you too.
So I AC compressors, I assume most of them still work on a belt off the engine. Has that changed in this age of drive-by-wire? When the more you talk about drive-by-wire, the more I think everything's changed under the hood.
Yeah, most of them are belt-driven, most compressors, but the electric AC compressors or AC pumps are becoming more and more of a reality. And we kind of touched on that last time I was on. We were talking about electric power steering pumps, I think. And so that's the AC pump or the AC compressor is another device which, if turned into an electric unit, can save some drag on the engine.
So just before we got on, you were starting to get into the physics of what's going on in there, and it's a fairly complicated process from the sounds. You have basically super cold materials inside your car that are going to end up getting moved from place to place to make it possible to blow some cold air on you inside the car.
Yep. It's basically there's a cycle happening in there. It's a closed system, and it's packed full of a refrigerant. And a lot of people use the term Freon, but Freon really is one type of refrigerant. And so Freon was taken off the marketplace quite a while ago. It's still available in for purchase probably from a very few select.
But it was one of the CFCs that was considered dangerous to the ozone layer.
Yeah, it was splitting the ozone into oxygen and O2 or something from O3, I think. And so now what we're using is R134A. Freon was R12, refrigerant 12. And now there's actually the newest kind, I think, is R1234Y, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty brand new. A lot of the 2014s and 2015 and 2016 cars are using it, so most of the dealerships have one of those machines. We're probably at our shop going to have to look into that in the next year or two. Right now, we don't see any cars needing any of that type of work.
So is the coolant the first thing that's going to get lost, the refrigerant itself? Is that the major thing to look at if your air conditioning is not working correctly?
Not necessarily. There's a lot of controls in the system as well, and so the system could still have a full charge of refrigerant, but there could be some controls that aren't working, and so there's sensors that make sure that the system isn't operating at too high of a pressure, and they'll shut the system down if they see excessive pressure to try and prevent system damage. And likewise, there's sensors that prevent the system from becoming below a certain threshold of pressure, which can also cause damage. And there's switches, dashboard switches. And nowadays you have individual climate controlled zones. So the driver and passenger, and then the passengers in the rear seat can have their own climates. And now there's air conditioned seats and heated. There used to be heated seats, but now you have air conditioning plumbing inside your seat.
Really?
Yeah. So you can have, your seat, what it's like to jump into a car that's been sitting in the sun for an hour.
Sure.
And your leather seat is about 150 degrees. So there's ways to avoid that now by plumbing refrigerant in through the seats.
Wow, this sounds complicated. So, is there more than one compressor in a car that has the zoned cooling system?
No, but there's generally more than one evaporator. And the evaporator is a device that looks very similar to a heater core or a miniature radiator. And what's happening in the evaporator is just as it sounds, is the refrigerant is moving from, it's doing a phase change from a liquid to a vapor. And so it's evaporating. And as the refrigerant evaporates, it readily absorbs heat. And so when you move air across the evaporator, because think of it like a little radiator, there's a blower motor that pumps air or blows air across the evaporator fins, which are freezing cold. So as the air moves across that evaporator, it is cooled, or more technical term, the heat from that air is absorbed by the refrigerant, which is inside the evaporator.
So this is really similar to it's the same principle that was used in the early ice boxes and early air conditioning systems where you got a block of ice and you blew a fan across it.
Absolutely.
Now, instead of having a block of ice, you just have this mechanical device that, that uses high pressurized refrigerant to create the coolness.
Yep, and it's the same system that your home heat pump uses as well. It's just that at home you have a reversing valve which allows your system to switch from absorbing heat from outside. You know, your heat pump will absorb heat from the outside air and release that heated air inside. And then in the summer, it will absorb the heat from the inside air and release that heat to the outside.
Okay, it goes the other direction. We're talking about primarily car air conditioning systems here with Zach Edwards on our The Squeaky Wheels segment. You're welcome to join us as we talk about the things that can go bump and squeak in your air conditioning system and make you a little hotter than you plan to be on a hot summer day. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So a couple of examples I can cite from my own experience. If you push the AC button and there's a loud squeal, how concerned should you be?
Well, that's the belt squealing, most likely. Sometimes the compressor can actually be making noise itself. But when you engage the AC compressor, it's going to need that belt to engage immediately. And if the belt is slipping, you're going to hear it screeching, that really loud screech. So you should be slightly concerned, but, you know, it's not the end of the world that day. But, you know, you might want to make an appointment.
So the belt is always turning the AC pulley, but there's a clutch in there, isn't there, that engages the actual compressor when you call for it?
Yep. So the belt is freewheeling until you need it. And once you ask the air conditioning to come on, then there's that clutch that engages the innards of the air conditioning compressor to the spinning pulley. And that gets the compressor is like a miniature engine. There's pistons in there. And it pumps the refrigerant through the cycle, and it also compresses the refrigerant. So it takes it from a low pressure vapor to a high pressure vapor. And after the compressor, that refrigerant, which has been changed from low pressure to high pressure, been compressed, it moves into what's called the condenser, and that sits right behind your radiator. And it also, like the evaporator, induces a phase change, and it allows that high pressure vapor to condense back into a liquid where it releases its heat, readily releases the heat to the atmosphere as the air is moving through the front of your car and you're driving down the road, or if you're sitting at a red light, your fans come on to pull that air through the fins. And as the air makes contact with all the surface area of those little fins, it pulls the heat away from it, lowers the temperature, and then the cycle begins again.
All right, and I don't want to make clear, because you did say closed system, so if anybody's sitting here thinking that you're pumping out coolant into the atmosphere, it doesn't happen. It's actually all sealed in there, right?
Yeah, and it's refrigerant. So coolant is the ethylene glycol, or the antifreeze. Mm-hmm. Refrigerant is the air conditioning, and it's a common misnomer there. People think they're low on coolant when they're maybe low on refrigerant, or vice versa.
How often will most air conditioning systems need to get a refrigerant recharge?
Well, in theory, never. You know, it's a sealed system, so it really should never become low. And this is one of those things where there's differing opinions. Some systems and some manufacturers will say that, a slight leak over time is normal, where you might lose a quarter of a pound over 7 years or something like that, because, you know, all of these connections are made with O-rings or gaskets or some type of a...
things that can eventually get hard and leak. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that being said, you know, I've had a Toyota T100 pickup truck for 8 years now, and it's never needed to be recharged. It has a quarter of a million miles on it. And then I have other cars, they need to be recharged all the time, and we cannot find a leak on these cars. And a common leak is the compressor itself right out of that clutch mm-hmm. seal. And a lot of times those are the hardest to find because they don't really show a lot of signs of leakage. And the vapor goes everywhere from that spinning compressor, and so it can be kind of hard to track down. But generally speaking, unless there's a problem, the system... it services itself. So when you're using your air conditioning, you're pumping that refrigerant through, mm-hmm. the whole system is oiled by an air conditioning oil, which is atomized with the molecules of the refrigerant. And so it's oiling itself. So actually sitting around and not being used is the worst thing for an air conditioning system.
Okay, let's take a call here. We have Evelyn in Gold Beach on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Zach Edwards.
Hey, Evelyn.
Good morning. I think my question just got answered. I live on the coast, and I use my air conditioner, and this is a 1995 Jeep Grand Cherokee, if that matters. excuse me. I may use it once every 3 years or something, so I'm wondering if there's something that I can be doing, because I keep having to, you know, have it serviced. Is there something I can be doing to prevent that problem?
Well, that's a good question. If you said one thing that you said is that you keep having to have it serviced, and so that's kind of an alarm to me. Servicing it once, you know, meaning the service should be to find out where it's leaking or if it is indeed leaking, and then repairing that leak. The other part of your question is something that I'll tell you, that something a lot of people don't know, is that when you use your defrost on newer cars, and your car's right in this window where I'm not quite sure if the 95 Jeeps use the air conditioning automatically when the defrost is put on, but most newer cars will automatically engage the air conditioning unit when you set your lever or button to defrost.
As a dehumidifier?
Yes, because as the air moves across the evaporator and is cooled, it is also dried. And that's why you'll see cars dripping water from under the dash area on the ground in the summertime as it's drying humid air. And so you're usually using your air conditioning when you're using your defrost. And, of course, on the coast, I bet you use your defrost quite a bit. But you could try and do an experiment and make sure that you could pop the hood and have you or someone who knows what the air conditioning compressor looks like and turn on the defrost. You'll probably see the air conditioning clutch suck in and begin to spin, and then turn itself back off as soon as you turn the defrost off. And if that doesn't work, you could try using your defrost try turning your air conditioning on manually when you're defrosting, and you'll find it works a lot better if your air conditioning system is working as it's designed to work.
All right, Evelyn, thanks for the call.
It sounds like it shouldn't be idle then. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. So, I mean, the car will tell you, I want it like my Toyota, you know, when I turn the defroster on, the AC light comes on.
Yep, most cars will. There's been a couple over the years, though, that I can recall, and I can't remember which exact ones, where they don't actually turn on that indicator light, but the air conditioning is actually on, and so it's a... That makes it even more mystifying to the customer when they find this out. Like, what? My air conditioning's been working when I'm defrosting? I've had customers say, you know, I don't want to use my defrost then because I'm, you know, getting worse fuel economy. And another thing that is interesting is that the CAFE, the Corporate Average Fuel Economy standards set forth by the government, actually determined that cars on the highway or at freeway speeds get better fuel economy with the air conditioning on and the windows up than they do with the air conditioning off and the windows down.
Because of drag?
Because of drag, yeah. So don't be afraid to use your air conditioning. Just use it.
Zach Edwards is our guest on the Squeaky Wheel. He's from Ashland Automotive. Boyd in Wolf Creek says the AC, after running a while occasionally, but persistently, makes a brief woo sound. Any idea what makes that sound, and is there a problem? Doesn't translate well through email, I find.
Woo. Sometimes after you shut the car off, you'll hear a hissing, like a kind of noise. And that's the system equalizing in pressure, you know, because you have the way that, remember, it's a system, it's a closed system, and it works on changes of state of the refrigerant. And the way those changes of state are achieved is by changing pressures. And so once you shut it off, it's not uncommon to hear those two pressures equalizing. So that might be one noise that he's describing. But in the middle of, you know, if you're driving down the road and you hear that noise, that could be a leak happening and you're hearing the leak, but it wouldn't happen. You wouldn't hear it for very long because all the refrigerant would leak out and there'd be no more noises.
The clutch engagement on the compressor is going to be intermittent, isn't it? I mean, once the car reaches the coolness you have dictated with your temperature setting, it's going to shut the compressor off from time to time, isn't it?
It depends on, there's a couple different types of systems, and one of them is called a cycling clutch orifice tube system, or a CCOT system, and that is, you're going to hear the clutch cycling. There's other systems. Most European cars of recent years don't use a cycling clutch system, so the compressor just runs all the time. They can vary the amount of output from it by means of electrical controls. Mm-hmm. And they also have like a swashbuckle or swashplate design inside, and it varies the amount of drag on the engine based on the demand of the system. And so it's a more sophisticated system than the cycling clutch.
All right. So we mentioned the fact that refrigerant shouldn't need to be changed much, if at all. What are the mechanical parts, so that might wear out? I mean, the compressor itself sounds like it could probably go. That's a lot of spinning over a bunch of years.
Yeah, and usually what's going to happen to the vehicles on the road is a device, a hose, or a connection is going to get flexed. I mean, think about your refrigerator. It doesn't need service that often if it's well built. But if your refrigerator was rolling down the road, going over potholes, taking corners, moving up and down and in and out and, you know, banging into things, your refrigerator would need regular service. And so what happens is a hose connection can spring a leak, or the rubber portion of a hose can actually just crack. Yes, the compressors can fail, but usually what the most damage happens is when a system becomes low from a little O-ring springing a leak, the driver doesn't bring it in, and then it operates at a pressure which is less than desirable but higher than the low point cutoff from mm-hmm. that sensor. That can damage things, and it can be very expensive to fix.
Okay, all kinds of things we learned about car air conditioning this week. Next time I'll ask you about my college roommate who had the AMC Hornet with a setting that said desert only. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's for another day. So the Squeaky Wheel is our monthly segment with Zach Edwards, who is the proprietor of Ashland Automotive. Always good to visit with you, and thanks for the input.
You too, Jeff. Thanks.